You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined, as always, in the studio by my friends and colleagues, Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood. Good morning, guys. How are you?
It's third best I've ever been.
Third best you've ever been.
Yep.
I don't even know how to comment on that.
It's leaving me speechless this morning, Todd. So I don't know. I guess I'm the best I've ever been.
Is it?
Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, we got a great show today. Say hello to our next guest. His name is Greg Hart. He is the branch manager with Prime Lending in Atlanta. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Well, it is our pleasure. Greg, before we get underway, do take a quick second. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Okay. I was born and raised here in Atlanta, which is rare from what I understand.
He's one of the four.
Been in the mortgage business for about 12 years now. Graduated from Emory with a finance degree. Got into the mortgage business, like most mortgage professionals, by accident. And started in 2002, and most recently was with SunTrust as a vice president for 10 years, and now the branch manager for Prime Lending for 1 year. Started almost a year ago exactly.
It's really exciting, especially with all the changes going on, I'm sure, in the mortgage business, and mortgages are just hot right now. But take a minute and tell us a little bit about Prime Lending, and tell us how you're different from other mortgage companies.
Sure. Prime Lending is based in Dallas, Texas. The company's been in business for 25 years now. They are owned by Plains Capital Bank, so we do have a bank back. Plains Capital is a Texas-based bank and only has brick and mortar in Texas. Like I said, Prime Lending's been in business for 25 years, started in Dallas, moved west mainly through that expansion, and then when CTX Mortgage closed in 2008, a large faction of that core group of people moved over to Prime Lending and established more of the eastern region. Atlanta was never a market. They started in Atlanta 2 years ago and didn't really have good traction until I was able to take over in January of last year. They were the largest independently owned mortgage company or privately owned mortgage company in the nation until Hilltop Holdings purchased us this year. So Hilltop Holdings is just a holding group, very much like Berkshire Hathaway is a holding group for multiple companies. So very large organization, the third largest FHA purchase money lender in the country, and that includes all banks and mortgage companies, sixth largest purchase money lender in the country. We'll do 2012, we'll have been close to $13 billion in production for the year.
Talk a little bit more about differentiation. I mean, what sets Prime Lending apart, and maybe even throw in a little bit about what attracted you to the organization.
Sounds great. Prime Lending, the main attractor for Prime Lending to me was the culture of the company and the size of the company. It's not so large that it is a large company, but it's not so large that they've lost their culture, and they're not so small that they're at risk with all of the regulation that's happened in the mortgage industry. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA are the three largest purchasers of residential home loans right now. Prime Lending is large enough to be included in Fannie Mae, what we call Fannie Mae's top tier seller servicer. So to do that, you have to take down at least a $1 billion commitment to sell loans direct to Fannie Mae. And Prime Lending did that in 2012, will continue to do that going forward. Their focus is to not have a product, or to have every product available to the loan officer that's in the marketplace. Prime Lending is only a mortgage company. They provide income for the bank, but they are not selling bank services. They strive to have every product available for the loan officer, and then the culture is it's service-based, based on the client and the loan officer. As part of the leadership of the company, they have what's called servant leadership is their mantra for their leaders. We are here to serve the loan officers. The loan officers are here to serve the clients, and that's the most important thing at the company.
But you mentioned twice to have every product available in the mortgage market. I personally think I would find that a little bit intimidating. Talk a little bit about what kinds of things are out
there. Sure. Well, now, to have every product in the mortgage market, 6 years ago, there could have been 150 different products. There's not too many different products out there right now, but there are different features of a product. A lot of banks and other lenders will put overlays on their products to avoid certain risk characteristics that may be out there. Prime Lending is not just a maverick that's out there doing low credit quality loans or anything like that, but there are certain controls that other places have in place that Prime Lending, because of the entrepreneurial side of the secondary marketing secondary marketing department that we have, and the focus just on residential mortgages, it allows us to have all of the products that are available in the market, such as renovation financing. Some companies will only do have one product available that's a renovation product. Prime Lending has all of the products that Fannie Mae offers or FHA offers available to the loan officer and to the real estate agents in the community. They want to be the largest renovation lender in the country next year. So that is a focus of the company, and that is it's a big opportunity for the loan officers and for the company.
All right. We'll be back with Greg Hart after this short commercial break. Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com. All right, and we're back with Greg Hart, branch manager with Prime Lending here in Atlanta.
So, Greg, I just refinanced my house through you guys, and I have to say it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. Less documentation, you all made it really easy. I think there's a lot of people out there listening who probably think that refinancing or getting a new home loan today is really hard because that's what they've heard.
Right.
So, you know, what should they expect in the application process? You know, what are they going to have to provide to you?
Okay. Right now, it's fairly standard as far as documentation is concerned. Most of the investors, when I say investors, I mean FHA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, they want a two-year history of income. 1 to 2 months of asset statements, that's your bank statements, checking, savings, your retirement statements, depending on the credit quality of the loan. If you're self-employed right now, you are looking at 2 years of tax returns. Personal, if you own a business if you own more than 25% of a business, they're going to want your business tax returns as well. So I think if you ask for everything that you need up front as a loan officer, a client is very, very willing to provide that information up front. It's where it gets piecemealed and one thing now, 2 weeks later, you need a bunch of other stuff, and then right before closing, you needed a bunch of other stuff. That's where the client feels overwhelmed. If you ask for everything up front that you know that you'll need, you get it, the process will be very smooth, depending on where you are. Some banks are taking longer times in underwriting and closing than some of the more nimble and agile institutions like Prime Lending.
You know, just as a follow-up to that, you know, we hear a lot about credit scores as it relates to home loans. You know, what kind of credit score should somebody have if they're applying for a loan?
You know, we could do a whole segment just on credit scores. Typically right now, to have all of the products available to you, a 680 or higher credit score is required. Now, FHA will go down to a 620 credit score. Well, FHA actually doesn't really have a credit score requirement, but I don't know of an institution out there that is going below a 620 on credit score for FHA. Maybe there might be one going down to 600, I'm not sure. And then it all depends on why the score is that low or why the score is a 620. It could be a 620 because of a recent late payment that was a mistake, and that's not as big a deal as if you've had a recent bankruptcy or a recent judgment or lien that would be more risk for the lender. So it's a case-by-case basis. Credit scoring is a very complicated mathematical model, mm-hmm. and you have to understand why. But typically, 680 or above, you shouldn't have an issue getting a home loan, conventional or FHA. Below 680, your best options are usually going to be an FHA mortgage.
Related to that credit score idea, how do I tell or how does someone tell if they're better off financially buying versus renting?
You know, buying versus renting is right now with the interest rates where they are in the marketplace.
Buy.
You know, I mean, if you can afford a rental payment, you're usually going to be able to afford a mortgage payment right now. Prices are very affordable right now, especially here in Atlanta, depending on the neighborhood that you want to live in. Where I see people make mistakes is they don't think a few years down the line. Most people were, in the early 2000s, were buying homes thinking that they would move in two, three, 4 years, buy the bigger house, move to a different neighborhood. My advice would be, look at yourself 5 to 10 years from now. Is that the same neighborhood you want to be in then? Are you planning on having a family? Are you planning on staying in town or moving to the suburbs? Buy the house where you think you're going to be 5 to 10 years from now, because you don't want to be in a situation where you're in a home that you don't, in a neighborhood where you don't want to be long term, and then you're not able to sell. Homes are illiquid, but you can afford, if you can afford to rent right now, I know you can afford to buy if your credit income and everything is good.
All right. Well, Greg, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Prime Lending here in Atlanta?
Sure. Prime Lending's main webpage is primelending.com. We also have our own Atlanta webpage. It's primelendingatlanta.com. And my phone number is 770-615-4610.
Greg Hart, branch manager with Prime Lending here in Atlanta. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Okay. We will return after today's Deal of the Day for a discussion on whether Atlanta is a fast-aging metro area. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's Deal of the Day.
All right, Carol, what have you got for us?
Well, today we have an offer from Ansley Parkside. They are offering $10,000 any way you want it.
Any way you want it.
Any way you want it. These are fabulous, energy-efficient townhomes at Ansley Parkside, which is in Midtown Atlanta. They're just right off of Monroe Drive, and sales are moving quickly in this community, so it is a great time to buy a new home for the new year.
Well, help me understand the ways I could utilize that $10,000.
Gosh, that's a great question for Delaney.
How about upgrades? How about knocking the price off? How about closing costs? How about granite countertops?
And is it all that
kind of
stuff?
How about upgraded appliances?
I think Todd got it.
You did a
great job. Any way you want it.
Any way you want it.
They're all especially for you, Todd, so however you want it. Closing costs,
upgrades. Can you get doggy doors?
Probably get doggy doors that work great on a townhome, absolutely.
So this is a traditional brownstone-style community. Phase 1 is completely sold out, and Phase 2 sold out as well. So now they have 21 new opportunities to live at this fantastic address. Again, convenient to anything, especially if you work in Midtown or downtown, just right there in the heart of everything. There are 41 three-story residents. They're two-story floor plans, and they feature 3 bedrooms and 3.5 baths, and the square footage ranges from about 1,900 to just over 2,200.
That's plenty of space. That's good stuff.
Yeah. And they have 2-car garages.
Gotta have that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Fundamental requirement. You gotta have a 2-car garage.
Yeah, especially in that area, to have one is fantastic.
Yeah, you can pay.
To have one is fantastic. Yeah. To have a 2-car garage.
Exactly.
It's really, really nice.
Really sleek, modern homes. They feature KitchenAid appliances, granite countertops, luxurious master suites, and spacious living spaces that include decks. So great for entertaining, and they're priced from the mid-400s.
And $10,000 any way you want it.
Mm-hmm. And some really cool attractions nearby. Delaney, why don't you tell us what's nearby?
You could go to Piedmont Park and walk your dog, or I know they have yoga classes, or just, you know, enjoy the park. The Beltline's also nearby. Atlanta Botanical Gardens, Ansley Mall, Buckhead Downtown, Fox Theater, you name it. It's pretty much, you know, 10, 15 minutes or less from your doorstep.
That's some great stuff.
Well, Piedmont Park's walkable from there, so is the Botanical Garden.
Botanical Garden's one of my favorite places in town.
It's just that whole area is super cool.
Well, and the King and I, which is one of my favorite Thai restaurants, is just right there. So,
all right, Carol, where can people get more information on this?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. If you're looking for more information on Ansley Parkside, just visit ansleyparkside.com.
All right. Well, that wraps today's Deal of the Day. All right, and we're back with our Real Estate Trends Roundtable. Carol, today we're going to talk about whether or not Atlanta is a fast-aging metro area. What is that all about?
Well, newgeography.com just came out with an article on the cities in America that are aging the fastest. And believe it or not, Atlanta comes in at number 46 on the list. So, you know, it's a list of the top 51 aging metros. So we're not the fastest by any means, but we are an aging metro. And You know, Todd could probably address that a little for us.
I somehow knew the conversation was going to turn to me on that topic.
Well, we always want to have experts on this show.
Well,
so.
Okay. But I think I'm looking forward to being in the majority for the first time in my life. I think, I mean, the whole country's getting older. There's no question of the birth rate's dropping.
Yep.
Life expectancies are expanding. So, I mean, that's just... It's inevitable that's going to happen. And that's good for guys like me.
We've got a booming group of boomers.
We got it.
Yeah. I mean, the statistic the article had was really interesting. It said 18.5% of the U.S. population is over 60, and that's compared to 16.3% a decade ago. So
no, I have to be honest. I would have guessed a higher percentage.
Well,
but maybe that's, I mean, that's, I guess, one in five.
It's getting higher. By 2020, they're saying the percentage of 60 and older will be 22.2%, and by 2050, 25% of the population.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I spent a week just before Christmas in Naples, Florida, just to, you know, get some warm weather on the beach. And just out of curiosity, I looked up some demographics, and the median age in Naples, Florida is 61. Which is substantially higher. I mean, that's, you know, approaching two-thirds. And you could really feel the difference in the community, the architecture, the housing, just the kind of stores that were available. Maybe that's a trendsetter. I don't know. Yeah. Trendsetter's not the right word. A bellwether, maybe. You get an indication of the kind of changes that are going to be coming at us.
So how's that affecting the Atlanta market, Carol?
Well, I think one of the interesting things about the Atlanta market is just the number of boomers who choose to stay here or move here. And again, it's one of the trends we saw on the show last year is just the number of active adult builders who are, you know, building homes for, you know, boomers that are in communities close to where their kids live, close to where their grandkids are, you know, or maybe just right down the street from where, you know, they have been living for years. They just want a smaller house. They want low maintenance. They want to be close to hospitals and attractions and, you know, just something that's easy, single level living.
Yeah.
Is the notion of people migrating south from the north, I got to imagine that's having some impact on this.
I think it does still have an impact. And one of the things that's a huge attraction to Atlanta is the climate for sure. I mean, it's a little cold for me this time of year. I get a little whiny in the winter, but it's still really warm compared to, you know, the north.
Well, it's January, and we should hit 73 degrees on Saturday, which drives me insane. I much prefer the cold, but the climate is generally favorable.
No, I'll tell you, as one who grew up in Pennsylvania, not that that's the far north, but it's far enough, 900 miles or so further north than here, the climate is different, noticeably so. And I find, even though I am a young active adult, I don't miss the winter and shoveling snow and those kinds of things. So I think that, yeah, that does have an impact on it, Todd. I think you're right.
You know, you can be more active. You can stay outside more. And there's still that whole notion of the halfback, you know, the couple or the person who moves to Florida and just gets tired of the taxes and everything down in Florida moves, you know, halfway back so that they're closer to the kids.
Well, one of the reasons that Florida is a popular destination is that they do not have state income tax in Florida. So I think that does have an impact. What other economic ramifications do you think this has?
Oh, I think the whole entrepreneurial thing is, I mean, folks are retiring. I mean, it's not at all unusual, someone that's in a corporate career, to retire at 55. And shoot, at age 55, I'm looking at that in the rearview mirror myself. I mean, I have no intention of stopping work. Now, I've been an entrepreneur for longer than that, but I think there's going to be a lot of folks like that are retiring from a corporate job, moving in an entrepreneurial vein. And I'm thinking ahead. We are on a real estate show. That makes a substantial difference in what I want in my house.
Right.
I mean, I've gotten a car and drove to an office all those years. Well, if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I need to have a house that's one level and has all those other active adult things in it, but I still need an office space, maybe where I need to meet clients. I mean, so that's the traditional Atlanta home's not going to accommodate that.
All right. Well, we'll get back to this conversation after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, we're back to the Real Estate Trends Roundtable talking about Atlanta becoming a fast-aging metro area. You know, Carol, you mentioned a heavy focus in 2012 on this show on active adult communities. Talk about some of the more recognized builders that are focusing on that market.
Well, we definitely have a large and growing number of builders in Atlanta focusing on that market. You know, everything from Del Webb and Soleil Laurel Canyon, and then Crestwynd, Lake Lanier, which are more of the big destination type communities. And then, you know, builders like Jim Chapman Communities and Red Oak Homes and Windsong, who are building, you know, in the communities where you're used to just, you know, finding single family homes, you know, close to where, again, where you've been all these years, or close to where your kids are.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, and I don't really know this, but are the active adult communities going to be mixed in with the, what do you call it, non-active adult communities, or the more normal traditional? And it's not going to be perhaps such a special, unique thing that they have a home designed for that or community. It's just going to be normal.
I think we're going to see more and more of that. What we've typically seen in Atlanta is you might go to a large community like Laurel Canyon, where, you know, Soleil Laurel Canyon is part of that community. So you've got kind of pods of, or groups of homes that are designed for active adults among, you know, groups of homes that are designed for single family or designed for, you know, entry level buy, you know, whatever those different groups are. You see the same thing even down Heron Bay, down in Henry County. Mm-hmm. They've done the same thing. They had an active adult pod in that community. So yeah, you see the mixture, and it's great because, again, then you can live in the same community with your, you know, your parents or with your kids, depending on what your perspective is, so that, you know, you're not necessarily not right next door to them, but you're just, you know, down the street and around the corner.
Yeah, or hop in the car and drive for 10 minutes. That's,
well, the key word there is community. And so it's nice to have an area that's concentrated where all the activities you want to participate in. But Carol, what oftentimes I don't think about is the homes themselves. Talk about some of the cool stuff that they're now doing within these homes.
And it's amazing what they've done. And these are all different features that are great for any of us, no matter what your, you know, age and stage is. And that's what we all forget. But, you know, they call it age-in-place designs. You end up with low-maintenance exteriors, you know, main floor living, you know, rooms, living plans, you know, no steps into the home or into the shower, wider hallways, which honestly I love, because that keeps you, when you're carrying the laundry basket down the hall, it keeps you from bumping your elbows on everything.
And banging the walls, chipping the paint.
But, you know, the idea there is if you were wheelchair-bound or if you needed a walker, that you could get through your home without running into everything. Well, you know, I have that challenge already, you know, just with the, you know, carrying stuff from room to room. So, you know, generally these homes are, you know, better lit, you know, lots of natural lighting so that you can see, and again, you know, see everything you want to see.
You made a really interesting point, because my daughter, who's 29, bought a home that was, the lady before was a 90-year-old woman and her mother. Okay, so these were...
A 90-year-old woman and her mother.
And her mother? Okay,
and I met them both. They were just delightful people.
How old was the mother?
I didn't ask that question. But my point was, here's my daughter, who's a 20-something, you know, bought this home that had all of the quote, amenities that folks that age would want. The handrails, the mm-hmm. lighting, the walk-in shower, all those things that you just mentioned. And she and her husband love it. I mean, they talk about how great this is, how great that is, and all those little features that you went to.
Yeah, so. I mean, they're calling it aging in place, but another kind of you know, catchphrase for it is universal design. And when you get into universal design, you're really trying to design a home that works for everyone in that universe, right? Whether it's the little kid who wants to join mom in the kitchen and cook and needs a lower countertop so that they can, you know, chop vegetables, or whether it's, you know, grandma or grandpa who's in a wheelchair and wants to go to the kitchen and help cook too, but they can't stand up at the, you know, the counter for long periods of time.
Pull down shelving. See, I'm convinced Stephanie married me just because she needed someone to reach the upper shelves. Glass front cabinet doors, open shelving, elevators. You know what an elevator is, Todd.
You're not going to bring that up.
Non-slip floor. I mean, there's just so many things you don't think about, but when you see a list like this, it makes all kinds of sense.
Well, you know, sometimes I laugh. You're talking about, you know, Stephanie married you just sort of reach high things. There's cabinets in my kitchen that unless I get a ladder out, I don't even know what's on the shelf. I can't even see the shelf. I mean, I can open the door and it's way up there, but oh golly, what's on there and how do I see it? And it's just not useful. So thinking about those things and, you know, designing homes that really live the way we live is important.
I'm just wondering about the quality of things that go into the home, the furnishings and the fixtures and things. You know, you tend to think someone that's, you know, retired or older may have more money to spend. And I don't really know this. I'm just kind of throwing out what you guys think. I mean, is it going to be nicer amenities in some of these homes because of that?
I think in homes in general that most amenities, whether they're built for active adults or whether they're built for entry-level buyers, today's buyer is demanding, you know, nicer fixtures and nicer finishes. So across the metro area, you're seeing, you know, know, you're seeing granite as a standard in almost every house in Atlanta today. You know, you see hardwoods in the common areas, again, as, you know, almost a standard in every house built in Atlanta today. Mm-hmm. So I think in general, homeowners are demanding quality.
Okay, well, I hate to say it, guys, we're out of time. We will link up to the article on newgeography.com to learn more about this. So that wraps this week's show. You can find us at AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you are so inclined, please leave a comment and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guest, Greg Hart, show producer Delaney Young, my co-hosts Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.